I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hello and welcome to the Raptors Over Everything live call-in show presented by KFC. I'm your host, William Liu. I'm joined as always by faithful co-host, Josh Hart.
Will, it's good to see you again.
It's good to see you, man. We're going to see each other tomorrow as well. But before we get to your phone calls, which you can call in at the numbers shown below, 416-263-8297. And 416-263-8298 before we get to your phone calls and your YouTube comments. So keep sending those in. But I got to say, I've been looking at the Eastern Conference standings pretty much every day because I love to see that moment when the Raptors are number one, screenshot that, get like 500 free faves off that. But it's been tough because I'm seeing that there are four other really good teams in the Eastern Conference.
Absolutely.
It was originally prescribed as a two-team conference. But you got the Bucks at 12-3, you got the Celtics at 11-3, you got the Heat at 10-3, Raptors at 10-4, and Philadelphia 76ers at 9-5. Just come playoff time, all right? Assuming no trades get made, those five teams, you know, Milwaukee, Boston, Miami, Toronto, and Philadelphia, how are you going to rank the top five in the Eastern Conference?
So I think off the top, I think Milwaukee's still the best team in the East. Giannis is the best player in the conference. They have the ability to blow teams out in the playoffs. I think Giannis will be playing with a bigger chip on his shoulder. He's seen a deeper playoff run than ever before, so they're number one. But I think the Raptors are right there number two. I still don't know what this Boston team does when the games slow down. They're not they don't have much size to.
They couldn't get a lot going against his Clippers. Now, granted, that was the Clippers, but
for sure. So I think that I would have Toronto ahead of the Celtics. And then until the 76ers are able to figure out their offense, I don't think you can take them very seriously. And then Miami has been exciting, but they're to me still in that sort of third tier of the Eastern Conference. Where do you see things shaking out right now?
To me, I gotta say, Milwaukee, to me, they just look kind of skeptical. Like, it looks, you know, they've always been a one man team. Like, it's always been about Giannis. But this year, it really feels like without Giannis on the floor, that team just does not seem to be able to operate or generate open shots or anything like that. So that concerns me a little bit. And I think there's already kind of a formula for stopping Giannis in the playoffs. And of course, it takes a special team with a special set of, all NBA level defenders to pull that off. But there's at least a formula there, and they definitely don't have a number two guy. So I'm not as worried about them, but I'm still worried about Philly out of that group. Yeah, I'm still worried about Philly. Because I think, you know, in terms of winning the playoffs, if you can defend the other team, then I think you're good. Then you don't have to worry about the rest of it as much.
They don't have a offensive system. They don't have offensive players.
Ben Simmons hit one single three-pointer in his life, man. Watch out.
I don't even know if that their coach will have their job all season. I think that the Sixers are in a weird space because they should be much closer to the top of the Eastern Conference rankings, and they're solid. Don't get me wrong. I think Monday is going to be a real good test for both of these clubs. But right now, I don't think I can see them there. I believe in the Raptors. I believe in the Bucks the most. I just think the Milwaukee Bucks, do you think they could do like a 2018 Cavs run through the playoffs?
That's tough. I see what you're saying. That's a little bit tough. I could see the Bucks if they got off to a slower start, if they didn't race out to like the conference lead like last year, I could see them making a desperation trade to get a better point guard. Because you just know Eric Bledsoe is not going to do anything come playoff times, right? So I would love to see them make like a splash trade for Chris Paul or something like that, some kind of desperation move, but they haven't done it so far. But, you know, the top of the East is interesting, though. I'm just saying, like, generally speaking,
it's got to be exciting.
It's tougher than I thought it would be, which is, I guess, good as a basketball fan, but bad as a Raptors fan.
But if you look across the table there, the top of the Western Conference is pretty tight, too. So it's a really exciting time to be an NBA fan across the league. But, yeah, I think right now I still got to give it up to Giannis. He's going to be the MVP.
Yeah,
I know what everybody says about Luka. I said it to you a couple weeks ago. He doesn't really stir my heart, but that team is not going to win 50 games. He cannot win the MVP on a 46-win team.
Well, Russell Westbrook just did that like 2 years ago.
Russell Westbrook won 47 games. First time it's been done in 30 years. And Russell Westbrook, there was a narrative. What's the narrative behind Luka Doncic winning MVP?
You know what the narrative is. You know what the narrative is. All right, we're going to take one YouTube comment right here from Yaya. At the end of the season, if you were Masai and had to make a decision between Mark and Serge, who do you re-sign? Josh, I think I know what you're going to say.
It's got to be Mufidi Chef.
Yeah.
But
I agree with you.
Would anybody really disagree?
I mean, it depends on how cheap Mark wants to come back for.
Yeah.
If Mark says, like, yo, I'll stay in Toronto for $5 million, I'm like, yeah, sign me up. I don't care if you give me 5 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists. I'm cool with that.
If we could pay Mark and Iberico Ham, I'm on board. But I just don't think that Serge Ibaka is a more capable basketball player right now. It's got to be what it is.
Yeah, I got to say, yeah, Serge is definitely the player that's producing better. But I got to say, though, Mark is very – it's rare. It's rare. I think – I really appreciate what Mark does for the team. And I think Mark will be way cheaper. So that's a good question.
All right. Gabriel from Toronto, you are on Raptors Everything Live. How's it going?
Doing good. How's everyone doing?
Oh. Good, man. Good. Thanks for calling in.
What a polite way to start a call.
Yeah. Hey, what can I say, though? Just enjoying the day. Currently at work, actually, but I'm able to multitask, so I just want to ask a question. And just a shout-out to you, William. I've been following you on the podcast for a while, so appreciate the work you do, so it's nice to be on the show.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it. I appreciate it a lot.
So my question – I just had a quick question, though, like, because I think an article came out today regarding Kyle Lowry stating that he's basically going to be – the Raptors are basically holding out for him until the 1st of December.
Yeah.
I think the team's going to do with this current schedule and next week's schedule. Do you think the team's going to be able to maintain momentum, or do you think they may start to lose a couple of games?
Well, I mean, so far they're 4-2 without Kyle in a lineup, which is pretty damn good, all things considered.
For sure.
That Philly game is tough, though. It really is. Like, it's a half-court team that can defend like that. I think you would want Kyle Lowry. Kyle Lowry's also played really well against Philly in the past.
And he hates Ben Simmons. He loves to play against
him. Yeah. He definitely wants to trade hands with Ben Simmons at some point still.
That's what I was wondering. I was especially trying to figure out what's going to happen on Monday, too, because, like, I really wish Lowry was back. But realistically, though, I mean, the team's doing fine.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's good to give him the extra rest. I mean, unfortunately, you know, a lot of players across the league have been getting injured. So, just good to give him the necessary rest if we can. And we are getting a book, I think, possibly this Saturday, too, correct?
Sorry, one more time?
Oh. No, I was saying that we are getting the Ibaka this following Saturday, so I mean...
It's up in the air for him to come back on Saturday, but yeah, if he's back, then...
Yeah, I was just at practice, Nick said Serge is unlikely for Saturday, gotcha. But he will travel with the team and wear great outfits.
And the rest of the Raptors' schedule after that,
it's not so
it's
bad.
A layup. Like, the Knicks,
Orlando again. You know, how many times are Raptors going to play Orlando? I'm tired. I'm tired, man. I don't want to see Orlando anymore.
Seriously.
Pretty well how we already played Orlando so many games. Like, it's been felt like 100 times we've been playing these guys, eh?
Yeah. And they don't. And they're shorthanded now.
Yeah, get well soon.
Vooch is out for like a month.
Yeah, get
Aaron Gordon's out, you know. So, you know, the good news is that the Raptors don't play Orlando again. Their fourth game against Orlando is the end of the season. So we can say goodbye to them for like 5 months. But, yeah. But yeah, I don't know, man. I think honestly, if they go 2-1, I wouldn't be surprised. If they go 3-0, and I think the Raptors at home is a big advantage.
Yeah.
Raptors haven't lost at home yet; they're 5-0 at home, and they've shown that even without Kyle Lowry, they still have a kind of a formula to work off of. So, I mean, I think Philly's tough. I think they're a really good defensive team, but
and Fred struggled against them in the playoffs.
And Fred struggled against them against the playoffs. Yeah.
It'll be a tough game. I'm hoping it's one of the most entertaining games of the season so far.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure. I love this. I want to see how Siakam holds up against that big lineup, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
Very interesting thing to see. So
I want to see him cross up Joel Embiid like he crossed up Anthony Davis. That would be hugely appreciated.
And then kick him in the shin.
You're going to just see me celebrating at home.
All right, bro. Thanks for calling in, man.
Yeah, no problem, man. Have a good day and take care.
All right. Thank you.
Have a good weekend.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think that the Monday game will be 50-50.
I wish Kyle was there for that.
And then the other two are layups. The Knicks suck.
Bro, the Knicks are terrible.
The Raptors don't lose in Orlando. It's fine. We're good.
Man, again, I don't want to say this too many times, but Orlando really has a number one pick in Markelle Fultz, a number six pick in Mo Bamba, number four pick in Aaron Gordon, number five pick in Jonathan Isaac, and I think the Raptors have superior options at all four of those positions.
And Masai's going to be very motivated to make sure that we keep a winning record against the Orlando Magic. We read about it in a great feature.
That's right. Yeah, if you haven't seen it already, you definitely have to to look it up. In Toronto Life, every year, I believe, yep. they write they publish a magazine and they list who the most influential Torontonian of that year is. And, of course, Masai Ujiri won it this year.
Yeah, and next year, Alex Wong top five easy.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. We'll see if it's Alex Wong or me. All right. Maybe combine both. But, yeah, I mean, so Masai won it. And it was it's a great profile. If you haven't read it already, definitely go read it. Yeah, really even Drake shared it on his Instagram. Like, you know what I mean? It's like a solid 15-minute read. Alex is on delay, so he finally got the joke. But, yeah, there were some very, very interesting tidbits in there.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite one?
I do. So there's a lot of great stories in there. Well, one, to your point about him talking about the Magic. So the Raptors used to have Jeff Weltman, which, by the way, shout out Masai Ujiri for getting a second-round pick for the Magic to promote Jeff Weltman, man. That's crazy. And that
who used to be his superior. What a flex.
Yeah, definitely. And then, you know, he was able to use that second-round pick as part of the Marc Gasol trade. So thank you, Jeff Weltman, for becoming Marc Gasol. But, yeah, I mean, you know, one of my favorite stories in there was Masai Ujiri recounting, you know, the pursuit from Washington in the offseason. Remember when the Raptors won the title and then Woj is immediately like, hey, by the way, congrats on the title. Masai is actually going to go to Washington. Like, I was seriously. Yo, Woj, bro, can you just chill? Like, you couldn't hold that for like 10 seconds.
Stephen A. Smith had
Shams funny. Is going to jump you in like the next 10 minutes, man. Let us enjoy this title. But Masai was recounting it, and the way it was told by the author Trevor Cole was that Ujiri was wooed by the owners of the Washington Wizards, who made it clear to him, unofficially, that they would give him anything he wanted, including an ownership stake in the company that owns the Wizards, the NHL's Washington Capitals, and various other properties, if only he would leave Toronto behind. He resisted the overtures because life is good in the city he calls home, facts. And Washington has nothing to offer that he couldn't get here. But it's always nice to be wanted.
Look, bars. Masai bars. Already has a guest room in Barack Obama and Michelle Obama's home.
Yeah.
He's good in every city.
It was always like, yo, Masai, if he goes to Washington, he gets all these connections. It's like, yo, please. Have you seen Masai?
Yeah.
My man got connections, is what I'm saying. What was your favorite story from the profile?
Yeah, I'll keep it quick and we'll get back to the calls. But Masai was recounting when he was, you know, got trying to get back in shape after a long summer. He's working out, but he started daily fasting. And the quote here is, daily fasting, nothing more than tea from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., is something he does periodically throughout the year as a spiritual exercise. Great quote. Like the Muslims. Masai is a Christian, I guess he...
Nigeria is like half Christian, half Muslim. Yeah. Like, you know, he got friends.
Periodically, like now, he goes under a more intense cleanse, subsisting for days solely on a juice of lemon, apple cider vinegar, cayenne, maple syrup, and a few other nutrients concocted by the Raptors trainers.
So why did this story in particular?
Because Masai Ujiri is on the same diet Beyonce was on before her Coachella performance.
Wow. Okay.
What a two icons.
What a scoop.
Two icons.
What a scoop.
All right. We got a call. We'll speak to Matt from Edmonton. Matt, how are you feeling?
Good. How are you guys?
Doing all right.
Yeah, we're good. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I wanted to discuss before, you know, moving forward, the guys that we won a championship with. You know, I hear a lot of, I read from the boards and stuff like that, some people gauging the interest of seeing how valuable our assets are, you know, Cal Lowry, Norman Powell. And I'm just thinking to myself, why not treat it like an evaluation year? You know, we're coming off fresh off a championship run. See how these guys go without a main star. Now our main star is Siakam. How about we just see what we got first before we start trading guys? You know what I mean?
That's a very good comment, and I agree with almost all of that.
Yeah, I think that if there's going to ever be a time to make moves, it doesn't start until after January 1. Like play that bit that.
Like January 15th, when all the guys have been signed, are available to be traded,
yeah,
back on the market. But, I mean, even now, I think this is a good time to evaluate what you have. Not only just in the starters, but also in the bench guys.
But the Raptors have a contender, and you have a contender, and you'll have a contender until you don't with this team.
Yeah, I think so.
Because if Mark and Kyle and Serge all hit April 1st healthy,
yeah,
the Raptors can believe that they're going to the finals. But if those guys are breaking down in January, you start to think... Maybe it makes sense to make moves. That's sort of where I'm at.
Also, here's where I'm at with this thing, right? Like, you can trade, like, let's say someone out there is going to offer you a protected first-round pick for Marc Gasol that is going to end up being, like, the 26th pick or the 27th pick. Like, what the hell does Masai Ujiri need with a 27th pick when he can get Terrence Davis undrafted? What's the difference?
I mean, with a 27th pick, he can get an OG Anunoby level player.
Yeah, that's true. But I'm just saying, like, it's not so bad to keep your guys and win games, because the Raptors have proven they can unearth talent from anywhere. So, like, I feel like that almost makes me less persuaded to make those kinds of trades, you know? So
also, would...
I mean, trading Norman Powell is a different case, but
on, bro. What about trading Fred? I really like Fred, but if the team comes to the conclusion they're not going to give him the bag he wants, does it make sense to give him an opportunity to walk?
No, they're not trading their third best player this
season. I agree, but
they're not doing it.
You think it's totally off the table?
Yeah. I don't think anyone's offering that much for Fred anyway.
So,
for like half a year of Fred? So,
I don't know.
Bird rights?
Who knows?
I'm not taking our first round pick so the Raptors can lose their third best player. No, I'm good.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm good. Stop trying to trade. Stop trying to bench Fred VanVleet. I swear to God.
I just wanted to give you a moment to tee off. I thought I'd make a good clip, but...
Stephen Asian Smith.
Matt, have a good weekend.
Enjoy Edmonton.
Yeah, do your best.
See you guys.
Peace. Yeah, I think that the Raptors shouldn't trade. Make any big moves until...
Yeah.
Yeah, until January 15th, which is only a month and a half from now.
Wow.
That's terrifying.
Time flies. Seriously. All right. I'm going to be 27 soon. We're going to take a YouTube question from Noor. Other than the top seven returning Raptors, eight if you count McCaw, who else can you see being a part of the playoff rotation? Are guys like Boucher, Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, and Terrence Davis 16-game players and not just 82-game players? It's a good question, and I think it's a fair question. Having watched the Nets playoff series last year, I don't know how much you can play Rondae just because it hurts your spacing. Yeah. The Nets had a hard time hiding him, and they made him play center, and he had to go up against Joel Embiid and Boban Marjanovic, which was kind of sad to watch almost. It wasn't fair physically. Terrence Davis is a rookie. I never expect too much out of rookies in the playoffs. You know what I mean? And Chris Boucher, you know, in a playoff setting, I think everyone's playing really hard. And I think one of the advantages Chris Boucher has, in addition to what he legitimately does, is that he plays really hard. So to me personally, I don't consider them 16 players yet, because obviously I haven't seen it. But what about you?
I don't know. I kind of like to think that that Nick Nurse will play everybody. I think that what we've seen is Nick Nurse is willing to be unconventional to, you know, swim against the pack. And if there's a matchup that makes sense, if the Raptors somehow see the Magic in the first round of the playoffs, I think that he continues to extend the bench. I think that if the Raptors see the 76ers, I think guys like Chris Boucher and Rondae Hollis-Jefferson have a position only to compensate for size. This roster isn't complete enough that you can say these are the seven guys, they work in every situation.
Yeah, that's fair.
Because
that's fair.
You're going to need to play a guy like Patrick McCaw in the playoffs if you match up with Philly, because you need the size in the backcourt. You're going to need to be able to go four bigs deep against the 76ers. I think if the Raptors wanted to have a double XL lineup with Serge Ibaka and Marc Gasol in the playoffs, I think it would make sense. And in that same spirit, I think he continues to experiment with the lineup.
Okay, let's take another call. Line one, we got Victor calling in from Scarborough, wanting to talk about Giannis. Victor, what's going on, man?
Yeah, I'm good. So my question is, if we acquire Giannis, Raptors will be an immediate contender?
If they get Giannis? Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
Definitely. That's an easy question.
Best player in the league?
Well,
best organization in the league.
Top five player in the league.
Kawhi's, league MVP.
Kawhi's knees are still intact, so he's better than Giannis.
League MVP. Add a league MVP to this team, you have a title favorite, probably.
Yeah. Instantly a contender.
All right. What do you think?
For me?
Yeah.
No, the thing is, we already, he was already exposed last year.
Whoa. Oh, my goodness. Giannis is a fraud wagon. I love this take.
Because he was already exposed by Raptors last year.
I love this opinion.
Our Eastern Conference Finals. So will that?
Well, I mean, I think he was exposed and he wasn't exposed. Well, here's the thing, right? Like, he's exposed in the sense that he couldn't hit key free throws and the three-point shot wasn't really there for him.
And when you put the best defender on the planet on him,
that's why I don't think it's fair to call him exposed. I mean, he was getting guarded by Kawhi Leonard, who's the best defender in the world, and then Marc Gasol, who's a former defensive player of the year, was meeting him at the rim. That's hard. And then Pascal's there, too. Like, I think it was more about the Raptors' defense than it was about Giannis failing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, Victor. I think if you want to
slander our future Raptors.
If you want to slander Giannis, you're going to have to worry about Alex Wong pulling up on you.
Wow.
99.8.
But yeah, Victor, man, appreciate the call. And we look forward to you calling back when Giannis is here in 2021.
Okay, thanks, bye.
We'll take another call. We have Alex from Toronto. Alex, how's it going? Pretty good. What's your question?
Like us personally? That's probably a better question. next Raptor question. Yo, maybe he could say something about Mark, because you know what I mean?
He's not going to.
Why not?
Because I think
Mark is giving you 6.6 rebounds.
And like the worst shooting percentage of all time. We all listened to the show earlier this week.
Yeah, thank you.
I think it makes sense to call it Mark. I don't think he will. I think there's just... Marc Gasol, there was a great Blue Jay that the organization brought in, and he helped them win the 92 World Series and then was terrible. That's Marc Gasol.
Who was the 92 Blue Jay?
I can't even remember his name. Walter Goggins?
Sounds like one of the guys that had a worse Zubes is gonna... than Marc Gasol in 1956.
1992.
Yeah, I would say call it Marc Gasol. You know, maybe just say something like, hey, stop trying to post up when you can't jump, and maybe shoot more threes. I don't know, but that's probably as far as I'd go. Who should Nick Nurse call out, Josh?
Who should Nick Nurse call out?
Yeah.
It's really just got to be Marc Gasol. He's the only Raptor who's underperforming.
Okay.
Who else is underperforming? Like Norm turned it around.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ron Stanley Johnson, but then it's sort of bullying at that point because Stanley might just not be there anymore.
Yeah.
Alex. Dave Winfield's the guy I'm thinking of. Walter Goggins, an actor in The Righteous Gemstones.
All right.
Dave Winfield is Marc Gasol.
Okay, that's fine. Flags fly forever. Alex, who would you call out if you were Nick Nurse?
Whoa.
Wow.
My goodness.
Damn. Really hitting with the...
Everybody's really trying to get Alex's
immigrant parent
ire.
Expectation. I mean, his true shooting is 77%, but that's not good enough.
No.
We need 99.
He just comes in and we want buckets.
We want, like, KFC bucket after KFC bucket over and over and over again. But he's giving us, like, a solid 2 points. I mean, he literally leads the NBA in three-point percentage, but, you know, we're still a little bit... We still want more.
Yeah, I think all we want from Matt Thomas is, like
to shoot 100%?
Well, no, a good performance in the three-point contest. Like, ever since Kyle Lowry scored 9...
Uh-huh.
We need a positive. And Danny was terrible last year too.
No, Danny was good.
Was he good? Did he make the second cut?
No, he couldn't. But that's but he hit 20.
So he made. He didn't make the.
Yo, 20's bad.
He did okay. He did fine. I am slandering. But that's all. That's what Matt Thomas is. He's just all. Where's the All-Star game taking place this year?
Chicago, baby. Who doesn't want to go to windy Chicago in February?
Yes. But
Alex, thanks for the call, man. Appreciate you.
Peace.
Which, by the way, Alex's question was good because we actually have a whole thing about Nick Nurse calling people out. So Rondé and Stanley Johnson, before the season even started, called them out for being waste in practice. Quote from Nick Nurse, these guys have not understood A, how hard we play, B, our schemes, that defense is a priority for them, etc. We've got some work to do with that crew. Now that's wild.
Yeah.
That's wild to just say they don't even know what they're doing out there. They're not even good, but they don't know what they're doing out
but
there.
But now I feel bad for Rondé Hollis Johnson because he's still assumed to be part of that crew.
No, he separated himself. But yeah, I mean, he called Rondé out. Rondé became better. He called him Norman Powell recently saying, you know, Norm's a little bit up and down. I mean, listen, I'm more, you know, I wish we can pencil in for about 16 each night rather than 26 one and zero the next.
That worked too.
That also worked. Norman Powell has scored 14 or more points in 6 of the last 7 games. So you're penciling him in for like 16 right there.
Yeah.
You know? He called out Pascal for fouling too much. He said, quote, he hasn't been very smart. If you want me to be honest with you, most of those have been fouls. And Pascal took the message, and Pascal has not been in foul trouble since. And that was like 2-3 weeks ago.
Facts, Kellerman.
And then he said Matt Thomas's defense, he didn't even say anything. He just made a face that looked very much like the guy from Chicken Little.
I'm thinking he looks
like
that,
the animatronic chicken.
Yeah, that
chicken
like awkward emoji.
Yeah, Nick Nurse has great emotion faces, but and then I don't know. Matt Thomas hasn't really played better defense, but what can you do? You know, really?
Maybe Nick Nurse should call out his own taste in like fast food.
Yeah, Nick Nurse was asked if you can eat one junk food, what would you have? And he said Pizza Man, breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Yeah, we need to put him Pizza on Man. To like, you know.
That's like a Kawhi level quote of Apple Man, Apple Time. Just Nick Nurse saying Pizza Time, like Jay Triano.
Pizza. Does Nick Nurse have a
sponsorship?
Yeah, with a pizza company in the city. It's coming.
I guess. okay, let's take another call.
8 from Toronto. Aiden, how's it going?
What's good, man?
I'm doing great. Will, you're top of the power rankings for Toronto reporters for me. I just wanted to mention that off the bat.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
I appreciate
Toronto,
it.
All sports reporters, regardless of Raptors.
All of them, wow.
All of them.
I also only like basketball, so that might be fine. Wow.
I'm even ahead of
I had a, I had a couple questions. One was a bit more serious and one was a bit more silly.
Okay.
Should I start with the serious one?
Let's start with the serious and end with silly.
Sure. So, yeah, I know we're talking about Fred VanVleet incessantly. And I was just reading Blake Murphy's athletic write-up about his contract possibility.
Shout out.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, no, definitely shout out to the god. It kind of just left me with this idea that it's a little bit up in the air whether Fred is going to stay or leave. You know, it has a lot to do with other teams, our own contract situation, our own players that could, you know, opt into their options or that we could extend. So I guess my question for you, especially as a Fred VanVleet stan, Will, what do we do if he leaves? What's the contingency plan? What do you do if your Masai and Fred is, you know, going to go make 20-something million with Chicago or something?
Well, I think first off, these conversations don't just happen at free agency. They're probably having the conversations right now. So I don't think the number's going to shock them. It's not going to be like surprise out of the blue. Fred signing for $30 million somewhere. First of all, I don't think the team's even signing over $30 million. I think Blake's article is very good.
Gets the John Wall contract?
No, he's not getting the John Wall contract. No, he's. I mean, I think Blake's article it laid out the scenarios definitely really well. I think a lot of it actually hinges on Pascal and whether or not Pascal qualifies for the bonuses in his contract. Because if you know Pascal has signed a max deal, but that deal can scale up depending on whether he hits second team All NBA or even first team All NBA. So that's a bit of an interesting factor there. But I think ultimately, I think Fred and the Raptors are pretty comfortable with where each other are right now. I'm not saying that they're like have an agreement or anything like that. That's obviously not what they have. Yeah. But I'm just saying like they know where each other are, and I think they're kind of comfortable with it so far. So I don't know. I think, you know, I think it's reasonable to expect like a Malcolm Brogdon level deal for him. I think the market is kind of set. And if that's the case, I'm willing to pay Fred VanVleet that money.
I also wouldn't be surprised by a Malcolm Brogdon outcome where the team says, yes, you are potentially the second most important player in this club, but we can't afford to pay you what you're asking right now.
Yeah, MLSC, we are not the Milwaukee Bucks. We can afford,
agreed, we have deeper
we can
pockets,
afford to pay a player or two.
I agree, but I wouldn't be would it blow you away if the number was too rich for
– How rich is too rich?
22, like 4 years, 88.
That's fine.
4 years, 100?
That's too much.
So, okay.
Yeah. So, like, so that's a range. 4 years, 80. They can play around with options. And stuff.
Oh, sorry.
No. What are you going to say?
I was going to say, because I was actually mostly, I agree with you guys, but I was actually mostly asking what's the contingency plan if somehow Fred were to get, like, a contract that was just over our capabilities. Because I agree that we should do everything in our power to keep him, but in the nightmare scenario where, you know, Pascal gets MVP and, like, and somebody offers him too big of a contract, what even is the contingency?
There's,
plan?
Like, a glut of point guards here available right now. Like, not, I think he's free Fred? Eight. Not as good as Fred, but.
I would say, I guess you have to promote Terrence Davis into that backup role, which isn't too bad.
Cool.
But long-term wise, obviously, if you have Kyle as a starter, I mean, like, how many more years of that can you really sustain? And I really think Fred is the contingency plan. Like, he's not the contingency. He's a succession plan. So
yeah.
I don't know, man. That's hard to say. So she wrote this far out. You're a big fan of Shamori Ponds? What's going on, man?
So I just had one question that I actually meant to call in for the past couple of weeks, but just was busy. So it might be a little bit of an old topic, but I just found it really interesting that we kind of let Casey off the hook for his, like, year of saltiness and jabbing at the Raptors just because he made, like, a classic Casey old man joke, like something about salt and pepper or something.
Yeah.
And now everyone's like, Casey is supportive of the Raptors. I just don't understand. Are we just too nice as Canadian media that we don't want to, like, perpetuate this dramatic conflict between us and the coach? Because I don't know. I thought he was so salty up until this point and then kind of just flipped the script with a dad joke. And everyone's like, oh, see, he loves us.
I think Dwayne Casey is very savvy about how he treats the media and how he plays that game. And so, yes, I do think he has a bit of a friendly kind of treatment. But also at the same time, if he's ready to move on, then at some point you just let it happen. I'm not saying you forgive him for all the stuff that he said, talking about how there's championships in Detroit and there's no championships in Toronto. Talking about how Nick Nurse is running the same offense, same defense, hilarious, and saying how he would have won if he had Kawhi and Danny and Mark, and it's like, okay, cool. I'm not saying you forgive him for all that, but if he is willing to sort of try to move on from it, and you understand why he's salty too. You wouldn't expect to get fired after getting swept 3 out of the 4 years. You wouldn't expect that. You just wouldn't, you know?
Well, plus a coach of the year.
Yeah, and his coach of the year got kind of taken away from him. Nevertheless, like I think he, at least in that moment, showed a little bit of contrition, a little bit of willingness to move on, didn't say anything backhanded. And I take that as, if you want the issue to die, then just let it die.
I also think that...
Just be the bigger man. Let it go.
I think a big part of this is the difference, the way that basketball is covered in this country. Right now, I think the best analog for the Nick Nurse, Dwayne Casey thing is like what happened with Mark Jackson leaving Golden State, the Brian Scalabrine. That was a huge mess, and lots of pot shots being made back and forth.
Brian Scalabrine.
Yeah, the one... He made all those... He, like, recorded Mark Jackson's conversation.
That was not Brian Scalabrine.
Wasn't it?
No, it was, like, Dan Erman or something.
Anywho,
like
the mess in Golden State was covered by the media because it was a relevant story in the way that basketball often is. I think you're going to hear stories about, like, Sheldon, or what's the new Leafs coach name?
I have no
Sheldon
idea.
Sheldon Keefe and Mike Babcock for the next 6 months. There's just going to be stories about how the kids got their old coach fired to upgrade their new guy. And part of the, like, Dwayne Casey story sort of ending is because you can't, like, maybe you could talk about it for 15 minutes, but I don't think you could do that on one of the media properties owned by a telecommunications company in this country. I just don't think Raptors fan, the audience is big enough to care about kind of a lightweight story like that.
Dwayne Casey played the media pretty well. And he treated them really well, and he was a very upstanding man with the media. And when you treat the media well, generally speaking, the media will carry your water for you. That's it. Yeah. All right, Aiden, thank you for calling in. Appreciate
you. Yeah, thank you, guys.
Yeah, have a good weekend.
I love everything at Yahoo, so please keep it going.
Hey, shout out. Thank you.
All right, peace.
See ya.
Dwayne Casey. How are the Pistons doing? Not great.
Poor Blake. But hey, man, they got championship banners. They walk in every day, and Tony Snell looks at the championship banner before he puts up zeros across the board in 28 minutes.
You know the skit on College Dropout where the guy's talking about how his dad's degrees keep him warm?
Yeah.
That's Dwayne Casey talking about championship banners.
Oh, my God.
When I die, I'll give my kids these banners won by somebody else. It's just
you don't think Luke Kennard walks into practice every day inspired by the two championship banners?
No,
that
he just,
Isaiah Thomas won.
No, not at all. Not at all. That team, not fun.
You know, Detroit used to be a great franchise, but they are no longer anymore. Before we take a question, another call actually, we're going to take a question from the chat because we haven't taken a couple questions from the chat so far. Adnan asks, can we talk about how rebounding issues, please? That's it? How rebounding?
How the Raptors are not the best rebounding team in the league.
They are not.
But they have a very good winning percentage.
Yeah.
And
they have a really good defense at forcing stops. Getting the loose ball is unfortunately a weakness. But when you look at the fact that they're number one in transition scoring and in transition efficiency, and you look at the fact that they're number one in opponent field goal percentage allowed. I'm generally okay with it. I mean, obviously, I wish the rebounding was better. It does irk me sometimes as well. But at the same time, it's like, you know, what are you going to do with the roster, man? Like, the roster is kind of what it is. Serge and Mark are not excellent rebounders for the center position.
Yep.
But they play the team defense well.
But so lots of
you got to give up something, I think.
That's I think lots of teams are shooting over the zone, and you get longer rebounds, and it's just harder to – it's just less predictable. And the Raptors don't have a solid, like, talented enough rebounders, as you said, to deal with that kind of unpredictability consistently. And it's just you have to make trade-offs.
I also feel like the emergence of Chris Boucher and Rondé has really helped. Those two are really good rebounders.
Yeah. Right. John from Toronto?
Yes, let's go.
John, you're on the air with me and Will.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, all right. So I was just thinking of regarding this summer, like, kind of trade targets to look at.
Okay.
And I'm thinking of, like, kind of like Bradley Beal to build that foundation when you go to that 2021 free agent class.
I like it.
You have more of, like, kind of something to sell. You got Pascal Siakam, Bradley Beal, or whoever.
Mm.
And then you can potentially pair that with Kawhi or, like, Giannis. Like, what do you think about Bradley Beal being targeted this summer, or someone else?
I love it, man. I mean,
but Bradley Beal's on everyone's list. Is Masai gonna let him get let himself get fleeced for Bradley Beal?
Masai not getting fleeced for anything, bro.
For no American player,
he's not getting fleeced.
So,
yeah, I mean, Bradley Beal would be a great fit. It's obviously a difficult time to find the trade option. I think, you know, when this Bradley Beal discussion came up previously, I think people were pretty willing to give up OG. I wonder. Now that OG's playing a lot better, people are still have that same willingness. You're willing, yeah?
Because
you kind of – OG's like the best trade chip outside of Pascal. And I don't think you're trading Pascal right
OG's
now.
OG's a very – like the contract situation is really good.
Mm-hmm.
But who's a better player? Like, and who has a better – who will be a better player in 2 years?
Yeah, Bradley Beal, obviously. Yeah,
so –
Bradley Beal.
If the – what would the package be?
You got some big – like, you got some big –
big money.
You got big contracts in Serge and Mark that are both expiring, so that's probably pretty good for Washington. And you throw in OG. Like, you could do that. The issue is Bradley Beal signed an extension this year, so it's a little harder to trade him this year.
Yep.
It's got to be in the summertime.
Would they still have – that would be hard to figure out the 2021 free agency class to go into it with Pascal with definitely some sort of bonuses hitting in, plus Fred, plus Bradley Beal, and then you're trying to – that's not possible.
That's a lot, yeah.
It's just the Raptors situation right now is build toward 2021 with Pascal and Fred as your two cornerstones.
Yeah, a couple other, like,
OG Norm, like, on solid contracts with enough money to bring in Giannis.
Yeah.
So
it's a nice idea, man, but it's just hard to find, you know,
it's,
the logistics.
I'm just trying to follow what the Clippers did, right?
Yeah,
like they have some space to do with the pair with someone else, right? So I'm thinking the exact same thing.
I hear you,
Will require like a Pat Beverly taking less money, Lou Williams taking less money to keep space. Not quite, and you're not getting that from Fred. Fred's made it very clear he's about his business.
Yo, Fred is doing ASMR commercials.
Yeah,
man.
He's about his American Express empire.
He's not taking the discount,
but
not discount. But thanks for calling in. I would love to see Bradley Beal on the Raptors one day. It's up to Masai and Bobby to figure out how that happens. What's that?
I think it's a big possibility, actually.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Maybe Masai says, I'll come to be your executive if you trade me.
That's probably how it's got to be done. Masai got to trade himself, you know? So.
All right.
Yeah, you're supposed there. Yep.
All right, bro. Call back when Bradley's a Raptor.
All right. Peace.
All right. I will in 2021. All right.
I really did like that guy's take that Giannis is a fraud. It's like...
I still can't believe it.
It exploded my brain.
Giannis slander is really tough. Some other questions before we take another phone call. Ray says Fred hasn't really proved himself yet. We need to give it this year to find out, what he can do. If he's worth it, to give him the money. I think that's fair. I think that's what they're doing.
Yeah, but I don't think Fred's ever going to be the all caps money player.
Yeah, but I mean, like,
but he can if
like
the
a
Raptor,
20 minute. Listen, Fred is giving you pretty damn good production, when with Kyle out, he's averaging close to 20 and stuff. He's averaging like 17 on the season anyway with 7 assists. That's not bad.
Just managing.
And like, you know, he plays good defense and they win too. So,
And getting to a point where that backcourt isn't costing $50 million a year will be great. And
that would help.
Yeah.
Samir asks, whose minutes should be reduced once Kyle and Serge are back.
Kyle and Serge.
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree. I don't want to see Kyle playing 40 minutes, man. We don't need it as much.
Yeah.
Fred's there, and Terrence Davis is doing some things. Yeah. I think Nick talked about at practice today that he's more comfortable extending the rotation a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. No, yeah, and so. They'll play, but they don't need to. The Raptors have a bench.
Oddly Random asks, what happened to Stanley Johnson? Did he get into a fight with the coaching staff?
He's just keeping up with mine and Will's great recommendations.
Yeah, that's right. Actually, let's get to that right now. Actually.
You want to do it now?
Let's do it now.
All right.
Let's do it now, because I got an email for free bubble tea, and I kind of want to end the show early to get that. Stanley suggestions. So last week, we changed the show from Rondé's recommendations to Stanley's suggestions, because Rondé's obviously busy, you know, doing the thing now, getting teased by Norman Powell and stuff.
Big fact.
So Stanley Johnson is the one with free time, and so we're giving Stanley Johnson some suggestions of what to do across Toronto. When we met yesterday, I decided he should go to Woodbine Mall.
Shout out to Rexdale.
Shout out Rexdale, Woodbine Mall. Rainbow Cinemas. I don't know if they still do the Toonie Tuesday anymore.
For sure they can't. But
I haven't been there since 2008, so.
It's a really quality place.
Is it?
I love Rexdale.
Oh, yeah.
Everything about it.
Louisa's in the room nodding.
Yeah, he can go watch. Like, oh, yeah, Louisa's also a big fan of Rexdale.
Big Rexdale stands.
He can go see Frozen 2 at Rainbow Cinemas. It seems like a good afternoon.
Yeah.
Go to the Fortinos across the street.
Go to that little Ferris wheel kind of thing they have in the middle.
Aren't they
of that.
Shutting down the Fantasy Fair?
I don't know, man.
The deep Toronto knowledge on this.
Yeah, so that's my suggestion for Stanley this week, is to visit Woodbine Mall. What's your suggestion for Stanley?
Yesterday when we wrote the segment, I thought that we would be getting a Party Next Door album,
mm-hmm.
and that he could listen to that. You know, he's going to be on flights to and from Atlanta. Not much to do, but there were two singles. They're not very good.
Yeah.
So I think that this
are they better than Omerta?
No, they're not better than Omerta.
Okay, wow, that's a
like
low bar.
Drake's doing the dancehall thing again. They're not very good. But I think those are still my recommendations for Stanley Johnson, because the songs are about as disappointing as he's been this season so
wow.
far.
Wow.
So Rainbow Cinemas and the yeah. new Party Next Door.
All right. We are going to take another call here. Apparently it's Detective Lee from Hong Kong. One of our favorites, Detective Lee. How you doing?
Detective Lee.
Have you found the triads yet?
Oh, my gosh. Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm good. What's up?
Detective Lee, you sound like you're not quite yourself.
I can only hear Josh. Is Will there? Is William there as well?
Yeah. What's going on, man?
Hey, just want to say another great episode of Run It Back this week.
Wow, thank you. You're watching all the way from Hong Kong.
Yeah, just had to work through some legal streams. In terms of top Toronto reporters, you know, you're definitely 1A to Blake Murphy.
Okay.
You know, I feel like Alex Wong hasn't been really writing this year. Not sure what's happening.
No, all he does is tweet.
Of him as well.
All he does is tweet and steal Keyshawn's grass.
Shout out to Big V.
Yeah, shout out Big V.
Shout out to Big V.
Shout out Sportsnet staff.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Great piece on trading Colorado by Sportsnet staff.
I don't want to take up too much of your time, but Will, I've been watching the stream and I noticed you're wearing the same sweater.
Don't expose me.
On Wednesday, so I know you have an Instagram account called WillLouFizz, and mm-hmm. it just seems really inconsistent that you would have an account about your outfit and wear the same sweater two times in 4 days. So I'll just let you kind of issue a statement on that if you
Yeah, my statement on that is, I don't know, man. I'm caught red-handed. It's unfortunate. This is what happens. This is why I didn't want to get an IG account, you know? My closet is like five outfits deep.
Will is involved in a very stressful wedding tomorrow. He's the best man. He's been busy.
I left my house in
and
a
I'm
panic
carrying
morning.
My friend's water today because, it's not a great look, but...
Tomorrow I'm guaranteed to wear a new outfit or a new guaranteed. Suit, so... Yeah, but wow! I really got exposed from across the world here.
Oh, great! A hell of a detective.
If you could have three sponsorships from clothing or designers or brands, who would they be?
Well, I mean, realistically, I only wear clothes from three spots, you know, because I'm basic. So, Zara Man, shout out Zara Man, shout out Uniqlo, and unfortunately, I also wear a lot of H&M, you know, so.
Yeah. No.
Ben looks stunned silent.
Yeah.
Keep up the great work, both of you. And Will, I'm finishing up this biography on Mao. I would love to call in and discuss.
Yeah, okay. That's all the time we have for today, buddy. All right.
Thank you.
Detective Lee, what a curious guy. Woke up in the middle of the night.
Such a big fan.
What time could it be in Hong Kong?
Have you found Soo Young yet? Get back on that.
Why didn't we call this show Rush Hour?
I know. We should have called it Rush Hour Live.
Next season. We have to.
Yeah. Great. Just a great call from someone that I definitely am not seeing right now in a separate room. Are we going to take the other call here from you go for it, man. What's the name right there?
Uzair, no? Uzair from Hamilton. Hello? Am I pronouncing your name correctly?
Yeah, Uzair.
Told you.
Yo, there we go. I was too afraid.
It's like the AU is like an O, and then Zaire.
Yeah.
Like Zaire Wade, but, whoa, that's another topic. Salute. How's it going, guys?
Yeah, what's good, are man? You? How's Hamilton?
I'm from Hamilton, but I'm just driving in traffic right now, so.
Oh, word.
Yeah. Cool.
yeah. So, I was telling your producer, in a sense. So, what do you guys think the playoff projections are for the Raptors, like, unbiased?
I think it depends on the seeding. Like, if they end up in that 4-5 matchup, that's a lot tougher than if they end up in a 2-3 bracket. You know what I mean? So I think the Raptors should...
I don't know if you heard Kendrick Perkins the other day when he was on inside the green room with Danny Green.
Yeah.
And he said that Raptors versus Lakers in the finals. And he was being, like...
Serious. Yeah, you know.
Honest with that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, Kendrick really likes... really has rocked with the Raptors for a while. He's shown Fred VanVleet a lot of love, shown Pascal a lot of love.
It's definitely whatever Drake sent him after that fight made him like a Raptors fan.
Yeah, the only guy that he doesn't like is Drake. And he talked about it on that episode of Inside the Green Room. Shout out Harrison, by the way.
Yeah. No, but if they're the second seed, do you think they can honestly beat Boston being the third seed?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
It'll be competitive. Like, it'll probably go 7 games, but I'm confident that they can compete with Boston. Yeah.
Yeah.
But the issue is if they end up in that 4-5 bracket, then they got to play one of, like, Philly or Miami in the first round. That's going to be tough. Yeah. And then second round, they got to play like Philly or some like Milwaukee or whoever's in the first seed, maybe even Boston. That's also difficult. Uh-huh. So you definitely want to be in that 2-3 position or even one, obviously. One will be ideal.
But do you think that Kyle Lowry, because last year he had a lesser load. Yeah. Honestly, he had a lesser load in the playoffs, right?
Yeah.
With him having, as you guys said, 40 minutes. He's obviously going to play a bit more this year and in the playoffs. Do you think that's going to have an impact or not? Or is he over that hump where I got a ring, I don't have to worry about anything anymore and the critics anymore?
I don't think Kyle was worried that much about the critics personally. I just think that it's harder for a 6-foot guard to consistently generate offense against a set defense. I think Fred has the same issue.
Yeah, but Fred's range is a little deeper than Kyle's right now. Or he's... willing to pull up from 32.
Yo, at practice, by the way, I noticed today that they put in 4-point lines.
Interesting.
Yeah, for Matt Thomas, right?
Not just for Matt Thomas, for everybody. Like, there's like 6 courts at practice or whatever, and like all the courts have an extra tape that's like about a meter and a half, like behind the 3-point line.
Rondé's not shooting that yet, right?
What's that?
Rondé's not shooting that yet?
Yo, listen, Rondé's shooting, there's like an arc that's like right under the basket with like... A dotted circle.
Yeah, Rondé's arc is the restricted area.
He's shooting that one. He's shooting that shot.
Not even free throws yet. We're not there yet.
If he has to shoot a free throw, then he can. He's actually okay free throw shooter, but yeah, that's...
Yeah, no, he's okay. He's been good.
No, he's doing great, man. Shout out Rondé. Yeah, I would say, they got to be in that 2-3 spot for the playoffs. Yeah. That's all.
Another question I had was, if Raptors... Obviously, finals are the goals for every team, for the Raptors too, especially for right now. What's one player other than like obviously Giannis, Kawhi, LeBron, and all these star players that's reasonably able to get to push them to the finals that can like give them okay these guys are for sure contenders because obviously everyone's writing off the Raptors right now
but that can
put them on Bleacher Report contenders the top 8 you know what I mean so well who's one player in the league that can actually push them there if they're lacking in one department.
Like, we're talking about, like, realistic guys to get? Because, like, honestly,
I
don't think any of the superstars are up for trade right now. There's not a Kawhi situation where you can buy low and grab somebody.
Yeah.
Buy low. DeMar DeRozan.
One player who's, like, an all-star level player, but not, like, a superstar level, that you think that can actually push him through?
Jrue Holiday.
That you...
No.
Yes, Drew, dude.
No, Drew Holiday not pushing him anywhere, man. Relax.
You got to show
he's
respect.
He's on my fantasy team. He's snapping right now. So
he's a great player.
Yeah, the Pelicans lose every game. But
and he plays well in Toronto.
He's snapping, though.
I remember seeing the Pelicans in Toronto last November. Drew Holiday and what's the other guy's name?
Etwan
Moore cooked.
Etwan Moore.
All-time Gerald Henderson Award.
Yeah.
First team all Gerald
Henderson. You know what we got to do? Gerald Henderson Hall of Fame.
Yeah, no, he deserves it, honestly. He's
he's Hall of Fame. He's a...
Jerry Lamb took Gerald Henderson from last year.
Yeah, no, he was.
The best shot he's ever made in his life,
He had like a 30-point game against the Raptors. It was unfortunate.
That's what I'm saying. He took the Gerald Henderson from Charlotte, and he like gave it to Jeremy Lamb.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we haven't even played Jeremy Lamb yet. That's going to be frustrating when we see Indiana, so... Yeah. I don't know, man. I don't think any of the superstars are available right now. I mean, if you can make like a minor trade if you want to get like Danilo Gallinari or something like that, but I don't know. I'm kind of against it.
Bogdanovich would be cool, but he's never leaving the Kings.
Yeah, so. All right, man.
One quick question. Do you think if we, with the same team, and we had Donovan Mitchell, do you think we would go to the finals or not?
I don't think so. I don't think a Donovan Mitchell is that level just yet. But
No?
No, but he's also not available, so.
Who's one player that, as a young player, same as Pascal age or similar, that can actually push the Raptors to the finals?
Bradley Beal, but there's no way to get him.
Giannis, he's also Siakam's age. So, all right, bro. Thank you for calling in, man. Enjoy Hamilton. You know.
Yeah.
Enjoy your commute.
Yeah.
All right. Peace.
Another call.
Yeah, another call. We have Steve from Toronto. Steve, how's it going?
Good. How you doing, guys?
Good, man. You sound great.
Yeah, this is one of the best quality calls we've taken all day.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Good to hear.
No worries.
Yeah, I mean, it's Friday, right? Got to sound good.
Yeah.
So, big fan of the podcast. Been listening for a couple of years now.
Thank you.
I wanted to ask, so I guess the big four teams in the East that I would see, probably not counting Indiana, you look at the Sixers, the Bucks, the Celtics, and then the Heat. So I kind of wanted to see what you guys think from kind of ranking what would be the best matchup to the toughest matchup for the Raptors in the playoffs between those four teams.
I would say best matchup probably, honestly, not even like slander aside, I think the best matchup probably is Celtics.
I would agree.
I think the Raptors have pretty plus defenders at all the places that the Celtics are good at.
And a Jason Tatum Pascal Siakam series would be fun.
Yeah, in the sense that Pascal Siakam is going to make him look like, what's his name, Tobias Harris.
I meant that it would be quite competitive, but I like your opinion here. Mm. No, it would be fun.
I think that's probably the best matchup. Miami is a little bit tougher because they're so physical, and I think they can sort of bully the Raptors on the offensive glass just based on their physicality. But I think the Raptors can ultimately shut down Miami's offense.
Yep.
And I think that gives them a little bit of an edge as well. I would say Sixers are the toughest matchup for me, just because I think they defend the Raptors the best.
Well, they defend everybody the best. But I think that the Sixers offense, I really can't wait for Monday's game.
Yeah.
Because I want to see where that Sixers offense looks on a very good Raptors defense.
Yeah, me too. But also, that's just tough. Like, they're defensively just tough.
And so hopefully we're supposed to have Serge back for Monday.
Yeah, and I hope that Nick Nurse plays the two of them, him and Mark, together for a little bit.
And I hope that Serge Ibaka pulls up on Ben Simmons again.
And hopefully the Tobias true shot. Keeps shooting under 20% from three.
He's not. Oh, he's not good.
God. Yo, the amount of times Tobias Harris shot like 2 of 13 in the playoffs. One of my favorites.
Tobias Harris. This guy signed for $180 million. That still baffles me.
It's a real debacle.
Someone's got to get the money. If it's not the players, it's the owners. But I don't know if it had that. Someone had to be Tobias Harris. You know.
No, it's not good.
All right, Steve. Thanks for the call, man.
All right, thanks, guys. Cheers.
Have a good weekend.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right, so we have. What, like 7 minutes left? We've gotten our recommendations out. We've gotten our talking points out. I feel like we should clear out some of these comments.
Yeah, but first.
Yeah?
Let's talk about tomorrow's wedding. I can't wait.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Are you a big wedding dancer? I feel like we've never
attended. I have been to only one other wedding, and in that wedding, I did not do too much dancing, no. But I also went solo for that wedding, and I'm not for this one, so maybe that changes.
I would like to have a dance with you on the...
All right.
You know, when they play... I don't know, Venga Bus? I have no idea what they're going to play at this wedding.
I did get a message yesterday for in the groomsmen group chat on the WhatsApp chat.
Yeah.
And the question was like, what song should we close with? And the options were Don't Stop Believin'.
Cool.
I did not vote for that.
Okay.
Rocket Man, which I'm like, oh, that's not bad.
That's not terrible.
Someone put in a vote for Closing Time, which I'm like, okay.
Okay.
A little bit of a classic.
Yeah.
A little bit on the nose. And I forget what the other two were. But that's kind of the sense of what we're going to get,
gotcha.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's
there's also going to be a bit of like polka dancing.
Yep.
Yeah.
Shout out to
Etobicoke, man. A lot of Eastern Europeans.
I've always thought that Red Wine by UB40 would be a great laugh song at a wedding. But I'm excited to cut a rug with you.
Yeah, I'm excited too, man. How's your wedding dancing skills?
I am a big wedding dancer. I not to toot my own horn. I'm quite good at it. I am.
Okay. I'm imagining Hitch right now.
I'm surprisingly fleet of foot for a man of my size.
Okay. Yeah.
So you know.
You got rhythm.
Got rhythm.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm excited. It'll be a good day tomorrow.
It will be a great day.
All right. Let's answer these questions.
Yeah. Let's go. Ray asks. He would rather play for our G League team than move to the Knicks. Oh, they're talking about Masai. I'm really curious as to how good Masai was as a basketball player. Every time you guys asked about this, because Masai did play professionally, you know, in like the really, really low tier. Like, we're talking about playing professionally in like Belgium. You know what I mean?
Slander.
My man playing for Genk.
In Luxembourg.
Club Bruges. Yeah, so I don't really know, but I would love to see what Masai was as a basketball player. Like, I would love to ask Masai outright, like, what's your basketball comp? And if he says, like, you know, Pop Spencer Bonsu, or like, you know, Tyler Hansbrough.
Shout out to Tyler.
Because it seems like he was a 6'4 guy, but he didn't actually have a lot of skill. But yeah, I don't think Masai's going to the Knicks, man. I think he himself said it personally. I literally hate the Knicks. Michael Lum asks, should Masai make a big change near the deadline? If so, what should be changed? Also, how about Terrence Davis? Did you expect him to be like this? Terrence Davis, A, I did expect him to be like this. I've really liked his game. When I saw him in Summer League, I thought, this is a player that doesn't have a lot of flaws. And if he stays focused and if he works hard, I think he's going to develop really well and really quickly. And he has. So, shout out Terrence Davis. We did an interview with Terrence before the season in training camp. So, you can scroll back in the podcast feed and look for that interview where all this was predicted. And then in terms of should Masai make a big trade, I don't realistically think so. I think he's going to see what he has with this team, and he's going to ride it through.
Yep.
So Trevor asks, will Siakam be better than DeRozan? What do you mean, will?
Yeah. Like,
what do you mean, will?
What did DeMar ever average in the finals? Oh, wait.
Wow. Well, I know Pascal gave you a 20, a 10.
Exactly. Siakam is a – DeMar's a great player. You know, I like to – take pot shots, but
everyone takes shots at DeMar, but realistically it's all love, you know. Yeah. What I mean, DeMar was really good
here.
Established a culture here in Toronto, and obviously he didn't get to see it through, but you know, shout out DeMar DeRozan. But yeah, I mean, I think Pascal Siakam already, I think as a two-way player, I think offensively DeRozan's a little bit better than Pascal
for sure,
especially at getting his own shot, but at the same time I think Siakam is, because of his physical abilities, able to become more efficient than DeMar DeRozan is. And also, Siakam is way better defensively. So I think he's just better than DeMar. And I think he already is. We got 3 minutes left, so we're going to race through a couple more.
Thoughts on the New Jerseys. They're just okay.
Oh, I thought this was thoughts on New Jersey, like the Izod Center. we're not talking about that? We're not talking about the New Jersey Nets?
No, I don't think so.
With Aaron Williams, Eric Williams, trading back for Vince Carter. We got really... Aaron and Eric Williams for Vince Carter.
Yeah, it's really a dark moment in my childhood. I don't want to revisit it. What do you think of the new jerseys?
Fine.
They're
a little boring. You know, I don't like the font on the front. It doesn't look that great. It looks a little childish.
Like, all over the league, the fonts are bad.
Yeah.
Brooklyn jersey was nice, and they have that stupid font. The Mavs jersey looks like uh-oh.
Yo, the Mavs jersey is terrible. Yeah, it really does look like uh-oh.
Yeah, it's facts.
Yeah.
John Lamb. Would getting Bradley Beal this summer, building with Pascal, help a superstar in 2021 come here? Yes and no. Yes, it makes them way better. No, it makes it way harder to take on a third max level contract.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty tough. It's pretty tough. But that would be great. Bradley Beal, Pascal, and Giannis.
Byron, how excited are you for Bench Mob 2.0? They're good. I don't know.
I'm excited. I wonder if it's a little bit different with Serge in the middle, as compared to Rondé.
Because Serge is going to want a shot.
Chris Boucher in the middle. Yeah, just because right now everyone's moving the ball around and everyone's so fast and athletic. And I'm not saying Serge is not athletic, but he's not energetic necessarily.
I don't believe that this will actually be the bench mob unit. I think that Mark will sit more and Serge will start more. So I don't think it's not going to be that five-man deployment that people are getting excited about. I think it's going to be a bit more, you know, fast and loose.
Ray says, if only we picked up Wiggins in the summer, he balling now. That's cool.
Let's know what he's doing in February.
Yeah, I just hope he comes out to Team Canada. That's it.
Big fact. Jerome. How does Nick Nurse reintegrate Serge Ibaka when he returns from injury?
Serge Ibaka is the easiest player to reintegrate, man. You just run pick and pop. He takes a jumper, he makes a jumper, and then he blocks a shot. Like, he'll be fine.
Mufuzi Chef on the cook-up. Last question. Bo Jackson. Good name. Will Jamal Crawford sign with the Raptors? Yo. That's a... He should
what
be signed
his
by the
media agenda, man.
He should be on the Knicks, and he might be eventually. But
Knicks again, huh? Jamal Crawford back on the Knicks, shooting 30%.
He'd be so much fun.
Yeah, what's going on, man? I don't know. I support the Melo agenda, I really do. But the Jamal Crawford one, that one, I just don't understand for the life of me. But that's all the time we have for the show.
Will, it's been great.
Yeah, it's been great as always. We'll be back every Friday. The Raptors Over Everything live call-in show presented by KFC.
Shout out to the sponsor.
Shout out to the sponsor. You can call in every Friday between 3:30 and 4:30. You can watch live on the Yahoo Sports Canada YouTube page. Me and Josh will be here. And, you know, also, yeah, watch Run It Back as well. So,
yeah.
Thanks, everyone, for listening.
Have a good weekend, everyone. Peace.
Bye.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact. You can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
A little something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in...
opinions.
We do that in every episode, too.
We're professional, unprofessional, so if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.